his role in working with the Cuomo administration insiders to undermine the accusations and to, in some instances, defame accusers sends a terrible signal across the state university.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we consider the case of embattled SUNY Chancellor Jim Alatras. We'll speak with a high-ranking member of the State Assembly who says it's time for the SUNY Chancellor to resign, and we'll speak with a key union leader who gave Alatras an important vote of confidence. First, some background. The State University of New York Board of Trustees is standing by Chancellor Alatras following the publication of text messages from 2019, when the longtime aide to former Governor Andrew Cuomo used profanity to smear a woman who would go on to accuse the former governor of sexual harassment. As part of a probe that led to Cuomo's resignation in August, State Attorney General Tish James released materials that show Alatras sent a series of charged messages as Cuomo's inner circle worked to counter wrongdoing claims leveled by Lindsay Boylan. Alatras issued an apology amid calls to resign from student government groups and others. The chancellor, who's been in the role since August 2020, also got a vote of confidence from the Board of Trustees, the Public Employees Federation, and United University Professions. We'll start with our conversation with UUP President Fred Cole. He spoke to my colleague Jim Lavoulis about why the union is backing Alatras.
We literally received a reach out from the Board of Trustees at SUNY late in the day that they were intending to release a statement of support for the chancellor. And they were reaching out to UUP to see if anything there was anything that we would offer in terms of characterizing our working relationship with the chancellor. And we were also aware that Public Employees Federation, PEF, had submitted a letter as well, the other major union operating in SUNY. And so what we did was, you know, we offered our perspective, which started with an acknowledgement of the apology that the chancellor had made public also on Friday, as something that was absolutely necessary, imperative. It needed to be done, an apology to Ms. Boylan and to the SUNY community. Beyond that, we did acknowledge that our working relationship since the chancellor came on last August of 2020 has been very productive in the area of health and safety, whether it involves the mandatory testing of employees and students, the mandatory mask wearing. We have found a very good partner in Chancellor Alatras on those issues of health and safety that during the pandemic were absolutely the priority for us as a union. And then we also said that, you know, here's a situation where we are going into the most crucial budget year in our, you know, in the last 15 years. And it is imperative that we have the support of the trustees, of the chancellor, of the entire leadership of SUNY, as we are committed to getting the best budget we have because campuses are hurting from 11 years of austerity budgeting, and we need to move forward to get good funding to those campuses. So that is what we did, and we issued this statement because we saw the board was going to make their statement, and we wanted to have some input, and so we made clear the apology needed to be done. It was done. There needed to be an acknowledgement. I was willing to acknowledge, as were my fellow officers and statewide officials of UUP, that the working relationship has been good, certainly on the issue of COVID. And moving forward, we need a strong SUNY to advocate alongside of UUP and all those who want to improve public higher education.
You mentioned this kind of came together on a Friday evening, if I'm understanding it correctly. You conferred with your other officers of UUP. How do you know your position reflects what your membership wants in regards to this?
Well, and in addition to that, we were able to reach out to the elected members of our executive board and approximately 17 members of that board. And we reached as many as we could in that very short time span. I believe first and foremost, that collectively the 37,000 members of UUP believe very strongly that, yes, it is absolutely necessary for our campuses to be safe in terms of the COVID situation, and then also to get a better budget. I will say that there is absolutely no doubt about the fact that our membership continues to be very angry, irate, about the treatment we received from Andrew Cuomo when he was governor, and that lingers, as it's no surprise that it would, and that has led to people being angry at the chancellor, even going back to the point when he was appointed chancellor. I just want to point out, though, that UUP was the only voice back when Chancellor Johnson resigned, the only voice that called for a full nationwide search for chancellor. No one else called for that. We did. Malatras was appointed. Our response to that was, all well and good. We need to work together because SUNY and our members and our students need it. And that is how we proceeded. But make no mistake about it. The reality is there are a lot of New Yorkers who are very angry about the 11 years of Andrew Cuomo's tenure, and certainly UUP members are included in that.
Now, I want to go to the kind of the crux of the matter here. The messages in question are from 2019, and it's been pointed out that, you know, that's a couple of years ago now. This was when Chancellor Malatras was a higher education leader, though, moving from SUNY's Rockefeller Institute to SUNY Empire. Is that language, though, and that approach that he displayed in the messages appropriate for a higher education administrator?
You know, and I think that the chancellor's apology speaks to that in terms of he stated that it was not appropriate language. I agree wholeheartedly. I think it's imperative at the same time for us to realize that the circumstances around that were such that, you know, these were not directed directly at Ms. Boylan, but at the same time, it did indicate a way of operating within certainly the governor's office, perhaps. But yes, as you point out, in the position that he was operating, where that kind of attitude and language, yes, is inappropriate at that time. And it is a situation, obviously, where our position, as you know, when the first allegations concerning the governor's behavior this past spring emerged, we were the first and we remain the only union calling for a complete and full investigation of the governor and the allegations of sexual harassment. And we were also the first union to call for his resignation. We are absolutely adamant and clear on this. Any allegations of sexual harassment, any allegations of steps taken to create a hostile work environment, we take very seriously. We also, as a union, stand by the principle of due process, which means that everyone must have the opportunity to defend themselves against all accusations in a fair and open way. That is always a fine line for us to walk, both with our members and those with whom we deal with.
And President Cole, you mentioned the budget process and the need to, you know, maintain this relationship, this leadership in regards to SUNY heading into that. Now, a growing number of state lawmakers, though, are calling on Chancellor Malatras to resign. State legislature, they control SUNY funding to a degree. Do you see that complicating the process, hurting SUNY in this budget deliberations?
I certainly think that that could create a hurdle for us to overcome in getting the best possible budget. I encourage, you know, the legislators to work with us and with SUNY going forward so that we can get the budget we need. I am confident that the governor and the legislators will think about the students we serve and the future of our state and how crucial a good budget is, regardless who the chancellor is, regardless who the president of UUP is. The fact remains our students need a budget. They need funding to support excellent programs like the TAP program, the Excelsior program, which we have called for in terms of reform and expansion of those programs to benefit our students. And hopefully that's where we can keep our focus going into the next session.
And we've been mostly talking about the response from decision makers. You mentioned the students there. SUNY student leadership have called on Chancellor Malatras to step down. Does that viewpoint concern you?
Well, certainly. You know, there is the reality that the students and some other faculty groups have expressed their concern about his statements and a desire for him to resign. I think certainly everybody is entitled to their perspective on this. I will just say that regardless of the positions that anyone has taken, we will continue to work with the Student Assembly, with NYPIRG, with all of the groups who are part of our coalition to bring a better budget to SUNY. It is a case where, again, the overriding interest is to get the best budget possible, and that's our primary and overriding concern.
Fred Cole is president of United University Professions, which represents faculty on 29 New York State campuses. By way of disclosure, he is also a WAMC commentator. Fred, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now for a different perspective. I spoke with Democratic State Assembly member Deborah Glick of Manhattan. She's from the 66th District and chairs the Committee on Higher Education. Glick says it's time for Malatras to go.
I believe that his role in working with the Cuomo administration insiders to undermine the accusations and to, in some instances, defame accusers sends a terrible signal across the state university. And I believe that it is important for students and their families to feel totally confident that anyone attending a SUNY will be in an environment that is free of sexual harassment and free of bias of any kind. And I think that these revelations, regardless of an apology, demonstrate that that confidence would be shaken.
For his part, Chancellor Malatras says these messages were from 2019. He apologized for his conduct, but said, you know, in government work, there's a lot of fierce disagreement. And that's what happened here between between Lindsay Boylan and himself. So you don't buy that argument.
Well, he also said it was a long time ago. In my perspective, 2 years is not a long time. And I don't think that is the sum total of his role in working with others within the administration and the closed Cuomo associates to undermine the credibility of various accusers.
Chancellor Malatras was hired without a national search. Is that part of your statement calling on him to resign, that you don't think, you know, necessarily he was the best candidate for the job when appointed?
Well, I think that we had an excellent chancellor who had been selected through a national search. The appointment of Chancellor Malatras was very decidedly about the governor picking a close associate and trying to further extend his control over the state university. And while I have no complaint about Dr. Malatras' ability to be a strong operational manager, I have always expressed my reservations about his ability to be a strong academic leader.
Separate from how he was hired and appointed by the board, has he been a good chancellor in the time that he's been there?
Well, it's a highly unusual circumstance the last year. And as I say, he is a strong operational manager, and he did do a very good job dealing with COVID on the campuses. But I think that we are moving into a new chapter, and I believe that the state university, which is the largest public university system in the country, needs a strong academic leader who has a strong national profile.
Just to explain for people who might not have followed this closely, the Board of Trustees is by and large made up of people appointed to that board by the governor. So in this case, people who were appointed by Governor Cuomo. It would presumably take a very long time for enough turnover to happen on the board that the board would go against the vote of confidence it gave to him last week. So how would you like to see this play out? Is it even possible for him to be removed?
Well, I think they'll have to do a lot of soul searching as to I think they have to recognize that there was not a national search, that that is the normal procedure, the normal standard, and that that was obviated by extraordinary circumstances. And now, as we move forward, they should take their responsibility to ensure that the university, A, has a strong academic leader, and B, one that has no association with the attempts to undermine and draw or question the credibility of the accusers who came forward related to Governor Cuomo.
Now, you have an important role to play in all this because you're the chair of the Higher Education Committee. If the SUNY board doesn't act beyond giving the chancellor the vote of confidence it did last week and doesn't listen to what you're saying, and Chancellor Mylotarys doesn't resign, what will you do?
Well, you know, we'll cross that bridge. I have a belief that there are other issues related to the conduct, not only related to sexual harassment, but, you know, what role did the chancellor play in preparing and editing the governor's book? And does that, did that work undermine his focus on his job as SUNY chancellor? And I think that if they were honest, they would admit that they should have done a national search, which may have been complicated in a COVID pandemic. And now they have a second opportunity to look at that and say, we are going back to normal order. And the normal order would be a broad search and not a handpicked candidate by a governor who is no longer in office.
Lastly, the governor who is in office, Kathy Hochul, has not called for Chancellor Mylotarys to resign, although when she took office in August, she did say they'd be looking at personnel in all departments and agencies and so on. Would you like to see the governor call on Chancellor Mylotarys to go?
Well, I'm not here to advise the governor in this endeavor. Obviously, the chancellor reports to the SUNY board, and that is why I've asked the SUNY board to consider their position and to either have the chancellor withdraw or for them to remove him. And I still hope that they will think about the future of SUNY and not the future of just the chancellor.
Separate from advising the governor, though, are you surprised that she has not called for his resignation?
No, I think that, you know, the governor has a lot on her plate. And I think that unlike the former governor who mixed into everything, she's showing deference and respect to the SUNY Board of Trustees. And I would hope that they would, as I said, put the future of SUNY first and foremost.
New York State Assemblymember Deborah Glick, a Democrat from the 66th District who chairs the Higher Education Committee. Thank you very much for taking this time to speak with us.
Thank you very much, Ian. Take care.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.